like you mean it. We're going to get into some of that. You might realize that's from the consecration of the priesthood. And it's important that as we recognize the day and what's going on, our Lord's given us so many indicators, because he said sin would not go on forever. And we're told in 2 Peter 3 that the elements will melt with fervent heat. So we're told what to look for. And we know that the disciples, they asked the Lord, when will these things be? And when will be the end of the age? What will be going on? Matthew 24. And Paul tells us in that end times that there will be perilous times will come. And they will not listen, endure sound doctrine. 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 4, 3. And finally, we know that it'll get to the point to where every man's hand will be against his neighbor. But that's going to bring about the desire for the kingdom. They'll want that righteous rule then. Zechariah 14, 13, Haggai 2, 7. You know, we're told that by Peter, 2 Peter 3, 11 to 14 says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein heaven being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. The world is so full of greed today, and selfishness, and it's bringing about death. It's truly, there's a fire burning in society. Famine and rioting, murders. Man's inhumanity to man is demonstrated all over. But with the presence of our Lord, you know, they're seeking the Lord. But the Lord says, it's not going to bring peace, but a sword. And the harvest is a time of great division, the separation from the truth and error, Matthew 10:34. And Psalms 2:1, why are the heathen raging? Psalms chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, it says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord. And against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. What we're seeing is truly Proverbs 29:18 in effect. Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. There's nothing guiding them. There's no moral indicators, it seems. There, you know, there's about 40 conflicts going on now around the world. And they're ranging from protests of civil unrest, from criminal and cartel battles with the authority, to terror attacks, civil war, and nation conflict against nation. World War II ended about 78 years ago, and yet we still have mankind not coming any closer together. The countries with reported armed clashes between forces, and rebels, as of July 30th. There's over 40 of these going on. 2.8 billion people live in the conflict areas. 70.8 million people are displaced as a result of these ongoing conflicts. About man's inhumanity to man, we know that in China they have re-education camps going on. They're actually bribing people to get them to come back into the country so they can put them in these re-education camps. And we know that in Ethiopia, here this leader received the Nobel Peace Prize for the things he wanted to accomplish. But when the people were opposing him, he is rampantly killing them just because they're opposing his way of leadership. We know in Sahel region of Africa, violent extremist battles for power, and many civilians are being killed, and it's worsening. You know, there's different things that are causing the world to be enraged with one another, the nations. We know that the Israelis established a pipeline, and that pipeline is going to feed natural gas into Europe. Russia wants to be part of that, and so does Turkey. They're upset that they're not in that. They've set up, Russia set up missile defense systems in Libya, and Turkey has created a trade route with Libya, which allows them to patrol that area of the Mediterranean. And we'll see how that plays out. But we've seen the breakup of the EU. We know that there's full-scale protests in the government and civil discourse in America. It's no longer about truth. It's about ideology. And if truth interferes with the ideology, you demonize the truth. In India and France, we're seeing massive strikes by the workers. You know, and recently in France, we know that they raised the retirement age and the people are rebelling. There are two conflicts in Cameroon, the Anglo-Franco and Christian-Muslim Boko Haram battles that are going on. Independence and world recognition of Taiwan, Kashmir, North Korea, and we know what's going on in Ukraine as they want to battle for their own sovereignty. You know, in the worst part, Nigeria is one of the parliamentary places where they, the people, they're there to be servants of the people, the parliament, and they're making a salary with their benefits equivalent to $40,000 U.S. a month, while the population lives on $2 a day. And the fears grow, rages, and impatient rule this day. COVID-19 pandemic. There's no common agreement on how to handle it. Lockdown, don't lockdown. We've seen the governments determining science and what is truth. We know that young people, there's what is the hope for them? 25% ages 18 to 24 thought about suicide. 20 years of progress wiping out famine, there was expected to be 130 million people would die of starvation based on what's happening with this supply chain and these wars that are going on. The gap between the rich and the poor is widening. The elites try to express globalism as the answer for prosperity for all. Well, for all the wealthy, it would seem. Luke 21:26, men fainting or expiring for fear. And for expectation of the things which are coming upon the world, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. You know, who are the heroes of today? You know, we're seeing these fashion experts, and we know everybody wants to be on YouTube. They have all these influencers now. You know, and we're seeing some of these heroes that have fallen from grace, and even those that are promoting sex changes. But we're told about this day in Daniel 12:10 that the wicked would not understand. And what's happening is we're seeing abominations in God's sight. They're actually being written into laws today. Leviticus 18:22, thou shalt not lie down with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Well, John Hopkins, their definition or their evaluation of transgender, it's is a mental disorder, that sex change is biologically impossible. Now, I will tell you this, in the last 2 years, they fired all those psychologists, and they have a whole new set of psychologists, and this total viewpoint has changed. Isaiah 5:20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We're living in this day, brethren. It is getting so close. We're getting close to that time where God said sin, he's going to stop sin. He's going to wipe it out. We're getting so much closer to that. And what are we supposed to be doing? We have to hold fast and stand. Look up and know that your salvation is nigh at hand, even at the doors. Luke 21:28 and Matthew 24:33. Be still and know that I am God. Wars are to cease. The bow and the spear are to be broken. The weapons of war are to be burned up in fire. Tribulation of those days and the tribulation of these days. It's going to accomplish the bringing about the kingdom. You know, when Peter was walking on the water, he saw the sea below him, and he took his eyes off the Lord, and he sank. And we need to remember this example and keep looking upward to the Word of God, the God of all comfort, not downward to earthly wisdom and reasoning, to the divine who has had a plan since the foundation of the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. And brethren, those all of us who have made a consecration, we know that we were bought with a price, but be not the servants of men. The consecrated, the vow made, covenant with God, his spirit in you. 1 Corinthians 7:23. In Hebrews 13:12-13, you know these verses well. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the camp. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Because we thus judge that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that they that live should no longer live unto themselves, but unto him for their sakes died and rose again. 2 Corinthians 5:14-15. If any man will be my disciple, let him renounce his own self-will, begin to live contrary to his own preferences, in that he will do according to the divine will instead of according to his own will. That's the right heart condition. That's what we're desiring to be in the likeness of Christ. You know, powerful picture in the type of the consecration of the priesthood. We're told in Leviticus 8:1-2, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, and the anointing oil, and the bullock for the sin offering, and two rams, and a basket of unleavened bread. And Moses brought Aaron and his sons, and he washed them with water. And he put upon him the coat, and girded him with a girdle, and clothed him with the robe, and put the ephod upon him. And he girded him with the curious girdle of the ephod, and bound it unto him therewith. In this picture, we see that Moses brought all the clothing. And he clothed Aaron first. So our Lord had to deal with our Lord Jesus. He had to be first, our head. And we're told in Leviticus 8:13, and Moses brought Aaron's sons and put coats upon them and girded them with girdles and put bonnets upon them as the Lord commanded Moses. As our Lord and Master Christ Jesus is represented in Aaron as our high priest, it's only after he is anointed that we represented in Aaron's sons are then to be dealt with. The white garments that we are clothed with are our Lord Jesus' righteousness. What a beautiful picture that is, isn't it? And we must remain under those robes while we're on this side of the veil. Because these are the robes of service. And we soon desire to wear the glory robes as our Lord. But, you know, part of this was that no man claims this unto themselves. It's the Lord who calls. And the Lord supplies all these things. Hebrews 5:4. And no man taketh this honor to himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. And Revelation 3:5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels. You know, and we desire to be faithful to our covenant. 2 Corinthians 5:1-4. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. Once we put on these robes, we're no longer recognized as our earthly careers. We have to do these things. Yes, we're here. We have to make a living. We have a mortgage to our families and a responsibility. And the Lord says, be ye in the world, but not of the world. And the importance is that we are now fully consecrated, clothed with the righteousness of our Lord Jesus. And that should be our priority. That's our first love. And all that we do should be to the glory of God. And every opportunity, now we know the Lord's with us and helping us, that we should always look to that that He's directing these experiences. And He will help us to make us perfect. Because perfection must be our aim. Isaiah 1:16-18. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil on your doings, of your doings before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek justice. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith Jehovah. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Brother Russell had some comments on this verse. And he says, the merit of the great atonement sacrifices cover all blemishes and make absolutely clean. If a scarlet or crimson object is viewed through a red glass, in the light it appears white. So when we come where God will view our sins through the blood of Christ, they are counted as white, evidencing the full and complete forgiveness of all who are truly repentant and who desire to draw nigh to God through Christ. The word white is from the same root as the word frankincense. And this red like crimson, it's a deep red, a fast color. But there is still a danger. We must resist the temptation to look beyond what the Lord has given us. He supplied the messengers. We have the meat in due season. We must not turn back and look to the world for counsel in spiritual matters. We must not go to those who leave our gathering in our midst of the brotherhood. Call to them, but don't go after them. Make straight paths for your feet. The way is narrow. Broad is the road to destruction. And when we're looking at the consecration of the priesthood, there's a beautiful picture. And we're told in Leviticus 8:27, and he put the whole upon the hands of Aaron and upon the hands of his sons, and he waved them for a wave offering before Jehovah. And Moses took them from off their hands, and he burnt them on the altar, on the burnt offering. And they were consecrated for a sweet savor. It was an offering made by fire unto Jehovah. What a beautiful picture that we're seeing here. That the offering was the second ram of consecration. And Moses brought this. The sons were all there with Aaron. And he put it on each one of their hands. And the picture of the waving, they have these pictures where they're doing this kind of thing. But I think the proper way, we see the priest's hands, Moses' hands underneath the priest's hands, and they waved it together towards the altar, waved it and brought it back. And I think that picture shows us that is the offering is to Jehovah, all. And the bringing back is our Lord giving it back to us to use. But the other beautiful picture is it's being waved with Moses and the priests. So the Lord's with us in our consecration. And the Lord takes the offering off our hands. Moses, they didn't say it's enough here, give it back to Moses. Moses took that off when it was done being waved. So our Lord will tell us when it's done. There was also on top of the offering three cakes. We have the unleavened cake, which represents our justification. The perfect, sinless flesh of our Lord Jesus been offered. The second cake was an oiled cake. And this cake represented having that Holy Spirit of the Lord. And we know that our Lord Jesus, represented in that oiled cake, gave his all at consecration and was faithful. And finally, the third one was a thinner type of wafer. It was more translucent. It wasn't see-through, but it was light could go through it. And that's a beautiful picture showing us glory, honor, and immortality. And we know our Lord has attained that, and that's our prayer, that we will also. And also, as Moses filled the priest's hands with his offering, as ours should be filled. The Lord fills our hands with sacrifice. You know, the ram of consecration is filling. The ram of the filling. And it's both hands full. We're totally committed to our service in the Lord. And since we must live to a higher standard. The Lord told Aaron in Leviticus 10:9-11, he says, "Do not drink wine or strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee. When ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that ye may put the difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, and that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses." The priesthood is being trained up. We're in this world to have these experiences to help the world of mankind. Isaiah 62:10 from the International Version. "Pass through the gates, prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway. Clear it of stumbling stones. Speak among the people. Lift up the standard, the ransom. The true standard, the cross of Christ. The truth pointing to the outcome of God's plan. Time, talent, money should be spent in lifting up the truth. The vow represents a very high standard of Christian living. The victory of the church means the overcoming of the flesh and its desires and interests. Turning from sin and learning how to put down the desires of the flesh, study to show thyself approved, learning when it's the truth and when the doctrines are of demons. This is how the Christ, head and body, will clear the highway, the holy way for the people beyond the veil. Having had the victory themselves, they will be able to teach mankind how to overcome. And this is the purpose for the filling up of the afflictions of Christ. This is the proving ground of the gospel age. Deuteronomy 13:3, "Jehovah your God proveth you to know whether you love Jehovah your God with all your heart and with all your soul." James 2:18, "Show thee my faith by my works. He whose life is not in harmony with the faith dishonors the faith and will not be permitted to maintain it very long." Reprint 21:59. A living faith shows itself by works. So it's the whole package, brethren. Faith and works together are bringing us into the character likeness of Christ. So we have a very important future work. The ministry of reconciliation, you've heard this in the convention already. We've talked about the word of reconciliation and the ministry of reconciliation. As Moses was required to leave behind him, his people, the nation of Israel, and ascend into the mountain to obtain the vision, to see the pattern according to which he was to build the dwelling place of God, the tabernacle among the people, so too must we respond to the invitation of God by consecration to separate ourselves from the people of the land and climb the mountain of spirituality in order to obtain from God the vision of Christ Jesus, according to which we too are to build our tabernacle to be the dwelling places of God among the people. That's from the Ford in the Tabernacle Shadows, Brother Russell. The conclusion of the age brings in the mediatorial reign, and that brings in the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing the trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And that's the importance of now. You know, besides offering our all to the Lord, doing his will completely, we're supposed to lay down our lives for the brethren. But we're supposed to trumpet that wonderful news. The people need to hear the assurances of what God's plan offers. Because we know in the kingdom, then the people will be given a pure language. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. Zephaniah 3:9. The pure word of truth, uncontaminated by human tradition. Instead of a confused message, the contradiction of creeds, of heathenism and churchianity. A pure message, unmixed with falsity and error, as we live in a time now. The confusion of doctrines will all terminate with this present age. Man's communication with each other will no longer be selfish, but pure, truthful, and loving. Volume 4, page 272, reprint 1520. The truth will provide sure footing for going up the highway of holiness. And thou shalt not see evil anymore. Zephaniah 3:15. Hebrews 8:11. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord? For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. And we know the experience of what happened with sin, why it was needful. Disobedience came, and it was willful. But we know our first parents didn't have any experience with evil, and they did not appreciate the good. But this disobedience is led to self-will, fosters greed, pride, hatred for one's brethren. No forgiveness. Galatians 5:19 to 21. They will not inherit the kingdom. Heart turns to stone, and ye are of your father, the devil. But in the kingdom, obedience will be the rule, and it will be willful. The experience with evil, they come to appreciate good. Having turned from evil, mankind learns to love God, love their neighbor as themselves. And on this rests all the law and the prophets. Mark 12:30 and 31. Following God's will, love grows in abundance, and they return to the fold, ready to forgive. The hearts turn to flesh, sons of God. Sin is remembered no more. Jeremiah 31, 33 to 34. Whether in Christian or heathen lands, all shall come to know to a knowledge of the truth. And this knowledge will not be theoretical, for mankind will be brought to it through practical experience. Reprint 5186. The knowledge of the Lord shall fill the whole earth. This includes restoration to mental and physical perfection for all who shall delight to serve and obey him. They must know the truth before the truth can cleanse and sanctify them and free them from the bondage of sin and death. Because God purposes that none shall perish because of ignorance or misunderstanding, he's made full provision for the enlightenment of all. Knowledge of the truth is light, and Christ is the true light to lighten every man that cometh in the world. John 1:9. The philosophy of the ransom is that all mankind were included in one man's sentence, to the intent that in due time the penalty of sin could be paid by one sacrifice. Reprint 27:13. And as mankind reaches towards perfection in the millennial age, they'll be ready to make their vow to the Heavenly Father's will. And they will learn of his love, and they will sacrifice, and the sacrifice of Christ, and make their free will offering unto the Lord and be at peace with God, a sweet savor unto the Lord. The priests held the hands of the one presenting the offering, the Christ, as the great Moses makes the offering to God. But still more, in this peace offering, after the consecration of the priesthood, the people brought their sacrifices. And the priests now observed them, and Moses was taken out of the picture. Leviticus 7:34, "For the wave breast and the heave shoulder have I taken of the children of Israel from off the sacrifices of their peace offerings, and have given them unto Aaron, the priest, and unto his sons, by a statute forever from among the children of Israel." Brethren, the priests, they received the offering, breast and heave shoulder. God has ensured by this ordinance that clearly the Christ had embodied, the great Melchizedek priesthood, will be the ones blessing the people and making the decisions on the various offerings, what is holy and acceptable. And they will eat the offering. They will make the restitution blessing of the people. What a wonderful privilege that we will have at that point. It'll be the same thing, doing that waving, that wave offering. And the decisions that the priests will make, because they're so in tune with the Heavenly Father, it'll be as if the Heavenly Father made those decisions. The present work guarantees success of the future. The saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of the kingdom and talk of thy power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Psalms 145, 10 through 12. The prophet intimates that all the saints shall have the privilege of this declaring the kingdom and of this honoring the name of our God. And this seems to be literally fulfilled today. For the Lord seems to be bringing to the attention of all his saints, his consecrated people everywhere, the present truth, to the intent that they may have its light upon the pathway, making manifest unto them the glorious character of our God through a knowledge of his great plan of the ages. July 31, Songs in the Night. We are given the power in our own hands to give the kingdom message, witness opportunities in every form. And we may rest assured that none can be of the company of the Lord's saints in this time and know of his goodness and his wonderful honor and majesty and not have a desire to tell the good tidings. We cannot be in the company of the saints and know of his goodness and his wonderful honor and majesty and not have a desire to tell the good tidings of great joy to all who have an ear to hear. And those who are most earnest, most zealous in proclaiming the message are sure to have the most blessing in their own hearts, in their own experiences, and to grow the most in grace and knowledge and in love. Seek it out, brethren. Look for the opportunities. There's a countenance on your face that they see that this, the world will recognize during this, especially this tumultuous time. Isaiah 35:8-9. "And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there." All the vice will be gone. That highway, there's no stumbling stones of error. It's a clear path. But the world of mankind's got to want to get on that highway. They have to make that decision to walk on that highway. And this day, as the world's considering the resurrection, can you picture, as the ones are coming forth, they're greeted by their families and their brethren on earth here, and they're welcomed home. Perhaps, as Brother Gene had suggested, they're going to be given resurrection tea and cakes to eat. And then they're going to study the Word. And everything that mankind does is going to be to the glory of God. They're going to want to praise Him in everything and want to know more about Him and learn of Him. They'll build their homes and plant their vineyards. What a wonderful family. You know, I think of that Job 28:28. It says, the reverence of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The turning from evil is understanding. Job 28:28. And to me, that's telling us that how is mankind going to demonstrate that they've turned from evil? By loving their neighbor, by helping their neighbor. You know, right now, what is it? He has the gold, makes the rules. You know, and the golden rule, do as you would have others do unto you, but do it to others before they can do it to you. It seems to be the rule of the day. But that's going to change. And we know it says the value of a man's life will be more than the golden wedge of Ophir. So can you imagine that? No longer desiring these, every human life will be precious to each one of the members on earth, as precious as they are now to the Heavenly Father who sent His loving Son to do and die, that all can come back. But brethren, as we continue on our walk, the true child of God accepts the prunings. It says, and I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch that beareth fruit, He pruneth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. John 15:1-2. As even the best branches in the vine, which give evidence of fruit bearing, require pruning, so even the most honest and earnest of the Lord's people require the Lord's discipline and providential care. Otherwise, they might soon run to wood making also and fail to bring forth much fruit. The true child of God whose will has been entirely immersed into the will of the Lord is neither offended nor discouraged by their prunings. He has learned something at least of his own unwisdom and has confidence in the wisdom of the great husbandman. Hence, when divine providence stops his efforts in some direction, he takes the thwarting of his plans joyfully, assured that the Lord will and the Lord's way are the best and intended to work out a blessing. Reprint 24:65. The church will stand in her reward, in her own righteousness. What a thrill. This scripture is amazing. This Revelation 19:7-8 says, let us rejoice in the exceeding glad, and let us give the glory unto Him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and the wife hath made herself ready. And it was given to her that she should be arrayed in fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. So the privilege and the opportunity to say, we're covered by Christ's robe of righteousness. That's the only way the Lord can see us, and we can present anything in a sacrifice that's worthy of being accepted of the Father. But once completed, once actually perfect, beyond the veil, achieving the glory, honor, and immortality, the saints will be in their own righteousness. The righteousness to which she is called, God hath not called us to uncleanness, but to holiness. The garment expresses the effect sought and gained, rather than the means God uses to bring it about. There's no more focus on the afflictions. And if our hearts and attitudes in the right direction, how can they possibly compare with the glory promised? We have the vision, and we're not perplexed. Only be strong and very courageous, brethren. We have faith in God's plan for redemption and restitution of all things. Ephesians 1:9-10, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh out all things after the counsel of His own will. March 31 manna. Fight the good fight of faith, dear brethren. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you are also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. 1 Timothy 6:12. Whether our warfare be of the more public kind or of the more private, there must be warfare. And more than this, there must be progress and victory, else we can never be accepted of the Lord as overcomers. Another thought should be born in our minds. The Lord is making His estimate. We'll take knowledge of the Spirit, which actuated us, rather than of the results secured by our efforts. He knows we're weak. He knows we're imperfect. He makes allowances for us. He's looking for thank the Lord, he looks at the heart. In view of this, let us see to it, not only that we do with our might what our hands find to do, but also that our every sacrifice and gift to the Lord and his cause is so full of love and devotion that the Lord will surely approve it as done from love for him and his, and not from vainglory. Brethren, bringing back to wave it like you mean it, it's a full consecration. Give it all to the Lord. He's with us. In that picture with Moses, the Lord's with us through every experience, and he'll tell us when it's enough. It's a reward glorious for a work restoring divine order for our Abba Father. Remember, the Father will be all in all. What a privilege we have, brethren. So may the promises of our unchangeable, loving Heavenly Father sustain you until your work is done. Amen.